Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Here's something you rarely find on Thanksgiving, day or night, the premiere of a new scripted series. You will next Thursday on Apple TV Plus with the startup Servant, a thriller startup overseen by M. Night Shyamalan. Creator executive producer Tony McGallop joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. We'll travel to the campus of Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles for another take on TV's current and future scene next half hour. The take giver is Academy Award winner Peggy Reiske, Dean of Loyola Marymount School of Film and Television. Also ahead, Nick Cannon takes on daytime talk, ABC welcomes Jeopardy, and yes, recent Tournament of Champions winner Mr. Holtower, and our new classic trivia question. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a trio of great audiobooks when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com. Thanks, televised. Makes a great holiday gift as well. And more details later in the program. 42 degrees at the top of the hour here at the Big Apple, and we welcome you on this Monday to the program All About Television. Happy to have you with us. Hope you have a great pre-Thanksgiving week ahead. We have 3 episodes for you this week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, this hour. Some great guests coming your way in the next hour alone, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, a phone call from you. So sit right in or stand right in, pick up the phone, and dial in at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And we have a chat room ready and willing to have you aboard. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you will find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the phone all the room either way we hear you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk or Speaker screen. Follow the instructions and other people can be live with you. We will have our news notes at the bottom of the hour. But right now, joining us live from the Whitby Hotel in Midtown Manhattan, the creator executive producer of Apple TV Plus' next original scripted drama, Servant, Tony Bezgalov. Tony, thanks for making the time.
Hey, how are you?
Very, very fine, thank you. Tony, how do you like it here in New York with your cast and crew meeting the press?
It's fantastic. We're having a great time. We're very proud of the show. We're happy to talk about it, and we want to get the word out.
Well, it's going to be very interesting because this may be a little historic in that this may be one of the first scripted series, maybe the first scripted series ever that is premiering on Thanksgiving. Do you see that as a badge of honor that Apple TV Plus is giving you that opportunity?
Oh, absolutely. I think they, you know, it feels like they've given us the best slot with Thanksgiving. You know, it's even being British, I understand Thanksgiving is the day when everyone comes together. It's about families, and we want, you know, we want the big audience. We want the family to come together and watch this together. And yeah, Thanksgiving feels like the ideal time to launch.
It looks like we have a big audience listening to us on this pre-Thanksgiving Monday as we welcome you aboard. So if you have a question or comment for Tony, put it in the chat room and make the call, 646-652-2906. What is Servant all about?
Servant is a psychological thriller about a family with a who have suffered a great loss with their newborn child, and they have found a very unique way to deal with that grief in that they have they've brought a reborn doll into the home, and they are raising the doll as if it was a real child to the extent that they've started to believe it. And by believing it, they've hired a nanny to look after the doll while Dorothy, the mother, goes back to work. So it's one of those kind of bizarre presences, but it's about bringing a stranger into the nest and the incredible and frightening things that that stranger brings into this family, into this home.
And how did you come to create the series? Was this something that came very quick to you, this idea, or was it something that you stewed on for quite a while?
I've been stewing on it for a long, long time. You know, I've been trying to find the story as I've gone. You know, I think originally when I had children, it felt like I wanted to write a story about, you know, what it's like having family life. And I've naturally gone to some dark places to bring that story to life. But it's, you know, over the years, it's organically grown. You know, I've been experimenting with it and taking my time, and it feels like we got it right in the end.
Mm-hmm. This is not the first television series you worked on. I understand you worked on 24, the Live Another Day miniseries that was on Fox a year or so ago. What did you take out of that experience that you put into this experience, putting Servant together?
I think, 24 is a very, very different beast to Servant. But, I was honored to work on 24, particularly when we were doing the season that was set in London. You know, being British, I think I was an addition to that team because I had the local knowledge, and, Kiefer Sutherland running around London felt realistic to me. So, I think I've worked on many different shows, and I've created lots of different shows in the UK, and yeah, I always like to do something a little bit different. I like to stretch myself, and I've done thrillers, I've done comedies and dramas and adaptations, and yeah, this one feels very natural. It feels like it's in my voice and the characters that I understand.
Mm-hmm. And how did M. Night get involved in working with you on the series?
I'd written a couple of episodes that had been kind of kicking around in my drawer for a while, and I wasn't sure what to do with them, and whether or not it was a story I was going to complete. And, the scripts fell into Knight's hands. We hadn't met, we hadn't worked with each other before. I hadn't been to Philadelphia before, but he read the first two episodes and called me up, and we had a conversation when I was working in Berlin, and he invited me down to Philadelphia to just talk about the show. And, when we got together, we found that we had very similar sensibilities in storytelling, and that we were seeing this show in the same way. It's a horror, but it's not about jump scares. It's about character, and there's a dark vein of humor that runs through the show that I think he connected with as well. So, yeah, it was an instant. It was a good marriage from day one, really.
Servant is the first original series to be put on Apple TV since that venture's launch a couple of weeks ago, and it will premiere next Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, over many smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the place. We've got the creator, executive producer, Tony Bennett Gallup. He joins us from the Whitby Hotel in Midtown Manhattan this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Happelband with you live from New York. Delighted you are starting your pre-Thanksgiving week with us. First three episodes of the promo about television coming your way before the week is out. Today, Wednesday, and Friday at this very hour. And for a question or comment for Tony, make the phone ring, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. A lot of people already in the room. As I said, our next episode is going to be on Wednesday. And joining us on Wednesday, we'll talk to the showrunner of a series that premiered quite quietly on Hulu last year, but turned out to get quite a following. It's called Holly Hobby. And we will have the showrunner, Sarah Glinsky, with us. That series will premiere its second season this Friday. And finally, we'll take a look at interactive television. Now that it's finally happening, where is it going? Content, advertising, commerce, and maybe even controlling other things in your home as a smart TV hub. We'll talk to two people from the industry company known as Brightline, Jacqueline Corbelli, the Chief Executive Officer, and the Chief Strategy Officer, Rob Askman. They're all with us live Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Televised. So you be with us. Tony, M. Night has had a little bit of experience in television. He did Wayward Pines for two seasons on Fox earlier this decade. What does he think about the world of television compared to the world of film? Is it does he find that it's a whole different world altogether? How does he see that world along with you?
I think, I think Knight has his way of working, and whether it's television or a movie, I think he approaches it in very much the same fashion. It's about putting the story and character first. It's about assembling the strongest crew that you can. And, I don't think he really divides those two things. I think once you're telling a story, then you're committing it to film, and it fits into a certain structure. Every episode of Servant is a self-contained beast. It just as you would approach a movie, there could be three acts, and you'll follow the story to where it goes. So I don't feel like there is a huge distinction between the two. I think a lot of the production values that we bring into this are worthy of being a movie. I think we took our time to shoot it and to get it ready. It feels it's of movie quality. I wouldn't define anything as television anymore. I think that the platform of television has changed, and the way we view and absorb television has very much changed.
One of the things that Apple TV Plus has been stressing with all of their original shows, whether they're made for adults or for kids, is that they want them to be aspirational. Whether it is working in the world of morning television with the morning show, or trying to create a society out of people who are most of whom are blind as in sea, or for all mankind, which looks at, you know, what if Russia lost, Russia won the space race to the moon, but we ran and won the space race everywhere else. How is Servant aspirational? How does it fit into that Apple TV aspiration of what they want television to be?
Well, I think the family at the heart of this is a very aspirational and successful family, despite all the problems that are going on there. But, you know, at the same time, that was never a remit that we got from Apple. You know, we were developing the show before Apple launched their service or announced their service. So whether it was just something that fit into what they were looking for or not, it wasn't something that we pandered to them on. It was something that was inherent in the idea that what I wanted to do was to create a seemingly perfect family where they have the perfect house, they have the perfect child, they have the perfect clothes and the perfect TV, and everything is in place. It's only when you actually go through that door and pass the facade, you realize that actually everything is broken here. I think aspirational doesn't have to mean successful. It just means that you've collected certain trinkets and you are at a certain level in your life where you're viewed to be aspirational. But it's a more complicated issue than just presenting everything as being perfect or well-formed, I think.
And that along the way you get empowered in terms of, you know, trying to keep this marriage together, trying to take it to another level in spite of all the issues.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think that it's kind of a human instinct to survive, is that when you're faced with hardship and you're faced with grief and trauma, then how do you survive? You know, that's the measure of a person, is how they step up. And, it doesn't matter where you're from or what your circumstances or what your background and upbringing were. It's how you survived and how you survive in the moment, how you face tragedy.
As not just the creator, Tony, but the head writer, you mentioned earlier that you wanted like each episode to have a chapter that, you know, has a definite beginning and end, but you also want the overall plot to sort of progress. How do you factor that in your writings, that you accomplish both, that each episode is an individual story that reaches the conclusion, but at the same time you also advance the full plot, the overall arc?
The most important thing is to know where you're going. You know, it's the journey is exciting and unknown, but the destination should always be known. And that's, you know, that was important to us before we started this, to know where we're going to end season one, what the theme of the general show is, where we can take it forward from there. So how you get there for me is the fascinating part of it. You know, you shouldn't approach everything knowing every single story beat in every single episode before you can start writing, because then you're not open to new ideas. Then you're not willing and prepared to embrace change. And yeah, that echoes with life as well. It's, you know where you're going to go, but you shouldn't know how you're going to get there. You should be able to surprise yourself every step of the way. And each episode, you know, we learn something new. Sometimes you go back and you refit what you've written before because you brought that new element in, but that's okay. You know, rewriting is something that's essential. And so we were fortunate that we had 10 episodes written before we started shooting the season. So, you know, that makes a huge difference. The actors were able to read every script and to know the fate of their characters before they began. There was no last minute revisions. There were no kind of, oh my God, this isn't working, we better do something different. It felt like, you know, here is a complete piece. Let's just make it from start to finish.
What kind of freedom does that give you and your writing team in the production, where you can have all 10 episodes finished, complete, you give them to the cast, and then you shoot it all in one shot, as opposed to the regular aspect of a series where you are in the middle of the production. As you go forward, you're continuing to write scripts, refine scripts, and so on.
It was slightly different. I wrote all 10 episodes of season one, so you know I didn't have to kind of wrangle a writing team as such. It kind of helped to keep the piece feel very authored. I was able to argue things out in my own mind, and you know it helped with the casting process that we knew what we were going to be asking the actors to do at each step. We knew where we were taking those characters forward. So, you know, if you can do it, if you can get away with that, if you have enough build-up time in production to get the writing done, then I think it helped. You know, you wouldn't necessarily shoot a movie unless you had written the second half of that movie, would you? So I understand the pressures of television often means you're writing as you're shooting, and you know, I've done that many, many times before, but if you can get the luxury of having it all up front, then it really does help. It really, I think everyone working on it understands what the end goal is.
Because your series deals with a family and a couple that is dealing with the aftermath of tragedy, did you do any special research on this? You know, check out grief counselors or agencies that deal with post-funeral or post-tragedy?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I'm a parent myself, and I know lots of other parents, and I've heard the horror stories, and I've seen the issues that everyone goes through with raising kids, and you know, it's more about the personal aspect behind it as opposed to what would a psychiatrist or a therapist recommend in this situation. I think when you're faced with this type of trauma, then you will deal with it in your own way. You know, it's the way you have been raised is what's going to guide you forward. I don't feel like, you know, I could do the psychiatrist version of this story, but then I feel like you're just telling the story of what's being professionally recommended. And that doesn't, for me, encourage human behavior. That doesn't help me tell a story about people who are going to make the wrong choices. You know, I think that's one of the big things in life is you don't always do the right thing. And in this story, it's these characters do not do the right thing. They very much take the short, sharp, easy fix instead of dealing with it properly. So I didn't need the research on that side of it. I needed these characters to be morally judged as they went. Excuse me.
We're speaking with Tony Bass Gallup. He is the creator, executive producer, and writer of Servant. It is the brand new Apple TV Plus dramatic series involving and overseen by M. Night Shyamalan. And it will premiere Thanksgiving. That's next Thursday on Smart TV Sets and Smart TV Live that carry Apple TV Plus. And have done so for the last, close to 3 weeks now. And Tony joins us live in the Whitney Hotel in Midtown Manhattan this half hour. On tomorrow, we'll be televised. Glad you're aboard wherever you're catching us on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Simon Applebaum also with you from the Big Apple. 42 degrees at the top of the hour. If you request your comment or meeting minutes with Tony, make the ring go 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. 90-minute episode coming away this Friday. Among the folks joining us, we'll have the host of the Rotten Tomatoes series, Couch Tomatoes, Nav Perez. It's the Siskel Ebert-like series where critics around the country gather together and give their thumbs up or thumbs down on current TV trends as well as current TV series, including shows on Apple TV+, Disney+, etc. What does Nav think and her gang think about the new shows on Apple TV+, Disney+, BT+, and other services? We'll find out on Friday's episode. And we'll also look ahead to a program called Rap Battle. That's not R-A-P, W-R-A-P. Do you think you've seen all sorts of holiday competitions like making the best food or singing the best song? You haven't seen anything like what Freeform is going to show called Rap Battle. And the best rapper, that's the W-R-A-P kind, could win $50,000. We'll talk to executive producers Michael Levitt and Jill Galarty. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern. It was an Ignite edition of this program right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Can we talk about working with Lauren Ambrose, wonderful actress. We first saw her in 6 Feet Under on HBO, memorable character there. What was it like working with her and the rest of the cast?
I mean, Lauren's fantastic. I mean, the first, you know, when she came in to audition for the first time, we all saw such an incredible energy under the skin with Lauren. She's just dynamic and calm and centered at the same time. And so, you know, she was the first piece of the puzzle that fell into place until we could build the family around that, in a sense. And, you know, finding people like Toby Kebbell, who he just complimented her so well. He had his own kind of strength and sensibilities to him that as a couple, you see them together and you firmly believe them. You believe that these people are, they're in love, and yet they're able to say the most horrible things to each other, you know, and that's a really difficult balance for actors to pull off. I think, you know, it's very difficult to be two things at the same time. So, you know, we got very fortunate with that. And again, with Rupert Grint coming in to play Dorothy's brother, Julian, he's just brought something we were not expecting from Rupert, which is an incredible comedy sensibility and then a comedic timing. He's, you know, the moment he opened his mouth in the audition, we knew that this guy is right. This is, it's again, it's like building a family yet having your dream ticket.
It doesn't even have this dream ticket, as you call it, Tony, has had experience either with genre television, like a Game of Thrones or Black Mirror, or suspense television, or in the case of Lauren, a show that was about grief and about dealing with tragedy, 6 months dealing with the family of a funeral parlor. Was that by accident that you were able to get all these people together with those backgrounds?
Yeah, no, absolutely by accident. I mean, I don't think we really kind of looked at people's previous work when we auditioned them. I don't think you can cast that way. I feel like you've got to look at where they're at now and what they're looking to do. It's, you know, I hadn't even thought about Lauren and Six Feet Under and the fact that, you know, she was dealing with that brilliant series also dealt with issues of grief. It didn't feel like she was tapping in to that character. You know, I genuinely think she's playing something very, very different here. It's not just a grown-up version. I think she's, you know, they're all very experienced and talented actors. So you give them something new and they embrace it. I really don't feel like either of them, any of them are repeating themselves in this show.
What was it like filming in Philadelphia?
It's when we shot in the winter, it was cold. I can tell you that much. It was cold, but it's a great city. You know, they were very welcoming to us. You know, a lot of the crew were from Philadelphia, so we were using local people. And Knight shoots pretty much all his movies in Philadelphia, so you know he's got a respect around the city that when we were moving around, when we were using locations, people just gave us all the help they could. You know, no one ever stopped us on the street and said, "What are you doing?" Everyone was kind of like, "Yeah, keep going." So Philadelphia was great. You know, I relocated there for 5 months and enjoyed the food, enjoyed the city. And yeah, it's an amazing place and great, rich history.
Uh-huh. Incidentally, on Friday, I had a chance to meet Kerry Aaron, the showrunner on The Morning Show, who had seen the first two episodes of your series and loved them. That's a personal congratulations from her to you.
Good.
All of the Apple TV dramatic shows that started when the series premiered, For All Mankind, C, Morning Show, et cetera, have gotten second seasons. If you get a second season, how would you like to develop Servant? Do you want to stay with the same family, or do you want to move on to another family and explore a thing? You and M. Night want to do a different kind of circumstance.
It's very much we want to stay with his family. I think, you know, there was at the end of season one, I think you'll appreciate that there's a lot more story to come. That, you know, there are new doors that are opening up in this house, and yeah, there's certainly a lot more of this to come.
And so all 10 episodes are shot. What do you do between now and getting the word from Apple about season two?
We keep working, you know, we keep developing until they're ready to push the button and say, let's do this. So, you know, we're not being lazy. We're all moving forward on the assumption that there's going to be more. And, you know, we're all just kind of waiting for the official word. And it's, you know, everything we're doing, Apple are very happy with. You know, they've supported us all the way. And, you know, there's no reason why they wouldn't continue.
Servant. The next new series from Apple TV Plus in the area of scripted drama. It premieres on Thanksgiving, and it will premiere on Apple TV Plus with smart TV sets and smart TV devices, smartphones, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if you want to know more about Apple TV Plus, Servant, and all the other shows you can find there, here's where you go online, www.apple.com. That's www.apple.com. Servant premieres Thanksgiving Day, a smart TV set or smart TV device near you. Tony Booth Gallup, the creator, writer, and executive producer of the series, joining us live from the Whitby Hotel in Midtown Manhattan. Thanks for making the time to be with us today, Tony. Congratulations to you and your crew for getting the show on, cast as well. And hopefully this is the beginning, start Thanksgiving, of a not just a very long-running show for you, but also maybe opening up a new door for producers to do original series besides parades and football coverage and stuff on Thanksgiving. And it's been a delight having you here.
Great. Thank you so much, sir. Good to talk to you.
You too, Tony. All the greatest. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Tony Booth-Gallup, creator, writer, executive producer of Servant on Apple TV Plus, joining us live from the Whitby Hotel in New York. More Survivor Televised coming away, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. James Patterson, the best-selling author, has got a brand new book out, and if you like suspense, if you like the kind of suspense that, or thriller, that the Servant is out to on Apple TV Plus, you might like The Inn. Patterson wrote it with Candace Fox. It's a very unusual thriller, and you can get it right now as part of Audible.com. And by the way, if you're looking, still looking, for a great holiday gift for Thanksgiving, for Kwanzaa, Christmas, et cetera, et cetera, can't think of a better one than the gift of listening, the gift of hearing how the world works. And you can do that with Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment information and inspiration, too. Over 180,000 titles to choose from. You listen to them on any device. You can do whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. And remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, you get not one, not two, but three free audiobooks and a one-month trial plus great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And remember also that two of those audiobooks come from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. It's everything from original audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater from across the country, and great one-woman and one-man shows. So if you don't have a Christmas gift on hand for somebody or holiday gift on hand, make Audible the gift. And hear for yourself how, or someone else, how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. For those free audiobooks and that one-month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. Promise you, it will go great for the people you love this holiday season. And makes a great start 2020 gift, too, and beyond. All right. So, anyway, I'll tell you, since we have some time in this first half hour, let's do our classic trivia question of the week. Unfortunately, nobody has answered the question we posed over the last 2 weeks. So no awarding of the great book, Monty Python FAQ from Applause Books. The question was, name the 1950s Western TV series starring Don Durant. The answer, Johnny Ringo. It was on CBS from 1959 to 1960. It was the first TV series both created and produced by Aaron Spelling at 4-star. It was sponsored by Kent Cigarette and Johnson's Wax. And believe it or not, it was a hit. That's right. So why did it last only 1 year? Simple. Johnson's Wax said to the producers, I'm sorry, can't sponsor your show anymore. Our folks want to sponsor a comedy, not a Western. And they couldn't get anyone to fill the slot. And as a result, show went off the air after one season. But some of its co-stars, like Mott Goddard, did go on other things, including Robert Taylor starring the Detective. That was another 4-star show. And some of you, of course, may know him as the co-star of Lost in Space in the mid-1960s. Yeah, 3 seasons on CBS. Again, the answer was Johnny Ringo. From CBS 1959-1960, that was the answer to our classic trivia question. And now it's time for our new classic trivia question. So everybody listening in, by the way, if you're speaking for the first time, listeners, heads up, because now you got your chance to win the Monty Python FAQ book by Chris Bersani, Brian Cogan, and Jeff Nassie. One of the great characters in all of literature was Zorro. And Zorro was not only a memorable character in literature, he became a memorable character on television. And here's our question. It's a two-parter. Name television's first Zorro and Zorro's creator. Name television's first Zorro and Zorro's creator. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you are first with the correct answer, you will win Monty Python FAQ published by Applause Books. And if you missed the question a moment ago, we'll try to replay it before we leave you before the top of the hour. If not, we'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. But remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So go for it. and all the very best. When we come back, we'll have news notes, and we'll go live to the campus of Loyola Marymount University in California and speak with their dean of School of Film and Television there, Peggy Reitske. She'll join us after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected with the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradioandspreaker.com. Together, more than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out Take Two Radio tonight, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific. That's Take Two Radio tonight here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Remember, Best Speech Hour with you 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised for this Monday afternoon, November 2019. Simon Appleman, live from New York. Delighted to have you aboard. Great guests coming away in the half hour ahead. And we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. And all it takes is a phone call from you. So pick up the phone and dial in at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Number good anyway, you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on BTR. And Speaker. And don't forget, we've got our chat room business at SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So get into the room, get on the phone. Either way, we will get you involved. Peggy Reitske, the Dean of the School of Film and TV at Loyola Marymount University, will join us live from Los Angeles after these news notes. Look out, daytime talk world. Nick Cannon is invading your turf next fall. The Masked Singer and Wild and Out host will keep his part-time gigs while becoming a syndicated daytime hour host from Lion's King unit Denmark Mercury. Fox Zone stations in New York, Los Angeles, and other major cities will carry Cannon's program, concentrating on celebrity interviews and pop culture commentary. You haven't seen the last of new Jeopardy Tournament Champion winner James Holzhauer. He'll be back in January when ABC unites Mr. H with fellow High Money winners Ken Jennings and Brad Rutter for a special Greatest of All Time miniseries. Each episode in prime time will run an hour, and the first is free to win three matches will win $1 million. The other two will pick up $250,000 each. Alex Trebek will host this Jeopardy undertaking starting on January 7th. Hulu has decided to bring Marvel's Runaways to an end when its upcoming third season wraps. That season begins December 13th. With Runaways running off for good, Hulu's Marvel programming, will consist of live-action Hellstrom and four animated series, premiere dates of all five shows to be published soon. Now some quickies before we get to our guest. Anu Jay, HBO's new space-spanning comedy from Beep creator Armando Iannucci, starts up next month. Two multi-year pro development deals happening today. Grove executive producer Jenny Connor with Fox 21 TV Studios and Queer and Slim director Melinda Matsoukas with FX. Queer and Slim reaches movie theaters next Wednesday. And Emmy-nominated Saturday Night Live performer Vanessa Beyer is co-creating Big Deal, a Showtime comedy series pilot. Fellow SNL colleague Jeremy Blyer will co-create and executive produce. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from the campus of Loyola Marymount University in California, Los Angeles specifically, the dean of their School of Film and TV, Peggy Reitske. Hi, Peggy.
Hi, how are you, Simon?
Very, very fine, thank you. So, Peggy, what do you and your students think about this world of television, a world that now has Apple TV+, Disney+, will soon have HBO Max, we'll have Peacock, and there's all sorts of other services you can get on your smart TV set or TV connected device.
Well, I have to say, I think that it's kind of a great brand new world in so many respects. I mean, the truth is there are more and more ways for students to see content and get content out into the world. So I know that there are sometimes an overwhelming number of things to watch, but unlike when I was first entering the business, where to break in as a new filmmaker, you pretty much had to go through the film festival route and get profile there before you could cross over into television. And that's just not the case these days.
Way back when, you worked with one of the greatest independent writer-directors in film, John Sayles. You worked on Brother of Another Planet, which was the film that brought many of us to the attention of Joe Morton, now one of the co-stars, terrific actor, one of the co-stars of God, Friend of Me, Sunday Nights on CBS, and also Matterhorn, I think a very underrated movie by any stretch of the imagination. What would he have thought about being part or being invited to be part of this new television era?
Well, I think that, you know, when you think about people like John Sayles, who it was a wonderful pleasure to be able to be breaking my teeth with when I started out, you know, John's doing a ton of work in television and has consistently for quite a while. So what I see is that, and what our students are interested in, is that they really are watching things not only in the traditional sense, but much more so between, you know, it's funny that one of the most popular series I hear them talking about is they still love watching Friends in the Office. But a lot of the newer stuff is being explored not only through Netflix, Amazon, some of the offerings on Hulu, but you see people are breaking in and discovering a lot of stuff between YouTube and Vimeo and these other streaming platforms. And that's what I see as a real opportunity ahead for our students.
Yeah. How has the teaching of these students in television, how has that altered? How has that transformed, particularly the last few years, because of the ability of these ventures?
Well, I have to tell you, what I see in the good film schools is, frankly, TV is being taught much more. And, you know, there is, I think no matter what we're talking about, whether it was film, whether it's television, whether it's webisodes, everything comes down to story. And that's what we focus on and what we teach here. Because still, the best way to be distinguished and stand out from the crowd is through original stories and unique points of view and voices that are coming into the world. And that's really what we do here. We're cultivating people's capacity to tell great stories.
I go every semester to New York University's Stern School of Business with the wonderful professor in our neck of the woods, Al Lieberman. And every single time the last couple of years, I've asked the students, impromptu, do you have a smart television set made by the likes of a Samsung, a Vizio, LG, Hisense, etc., or a Google Chromecast, an Amazon Fire TV, an Apple TV, a Roku, a TV we call TV-connected device? And the first time I asked that question several years ago, only a few people raised their hands. This last October, last month, I asked that question, and almost everybody in both classrooms, about 50 people in each, 50 students each class, almost everybody raised their hands. It really tells you that somebody, you know, for people who sometimes think, well, millennials don't watch television on these devices, or they watch on smartphones, whatever. I'm wondering about the same things with you. Do you ask your students if they do have smart TV sets and devices? If so, what is their reaction to viewing TV that way, as opposed to over a smartphone or a tablet or another screen?
Well, I think part of why you're seeing that increase is that smart TVs are starting to mimic more what it feels like watching on your laptop. You know, it just makes access to all these different channels and portals so much easier. And they've gotten more and more sophisticated. And I gotta say, the screen content is incredible. I just bought a new TV myself, and even just in the span of a couple of years, you're like, oh my God, the quality is just incredible. And so for us who are teaching students who are going to enter the business, I think there still is a desire to see stuff on a bigger screen. And I know, and we all know from a commercial standpoint, more and more people are watching on any of the screens available. So you do have to be thinking about content working on a multiplicity of devices. But again, I'm telling you, Simon, I come back to it over and over and over. It really is good story that is the most compelling thing that we can help develop. And the great thing about great stories is they can be told in any genre. You know, just like when you were talking to your prior guest about the incredible series, which, by the way, I've seen the trailer for, and it really looks unnerving. You know, they're making great provocative content that's coming in under the psychological and horror genre, which is what M. Night Shyamalan excels in. So I feel like I'm genre agnostic, and I'm platform agnostic when I talk about the ways in which students are going to move out into the world of entertainment and the ways they can make livings generating great creative content.
How do you encourage students, Peggy, to, no matter what the genre is, or whether it's comedy, drama, dramedy, et cetera, or something that's really cutting edge, how do you encourage great storytelling to come out? What makes the storytelling great?
Well, there's two things I think that are most important. One is you look at the past, and then you also look to the future, right? And part of it is there's craft, there's basics about structure, and then there's inspiration and practice. And I feel like it is within a structured environment. This is the gift of film school, which is you are in a place where very experienced people are working with you to help you grow as an artist and as a craftsperson, right? Because part of what it is you need to know the rules before you can break the rules. And I think that that's both of what we definitely are cultivate and welcome people moving beyond and looking to the futures and new ways in which you combine genres, you break genres. But I really believe all of that has to be grounded in a strong foundation of understanding basic structure and traditional genre. I mean, John Sayles, you know, God bless him, he was really good at that. You know, he knew how to write for all conventional, in conventional ways. But the movies he decided and the series work that he's doing himself are about writing in between the lines, writing between the lines a bit.
We're speaking with Peggy Reitzke. She is the dean of the Office of the School of Film and Television at Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles. She joins us live from there this half hour, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Signing out with you live from New York. You are working with us on this pre-Thanksgiving week. Three episodes coming your way today, Wednesday and Friday at this very hour. And 42 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple, where we are originating our show from, on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. If you have a question or comment for our Dean Peggy, make the call, including those of you students out there that are listening, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Coming up on our special episode on Wednesday, we will have the showrunner of a series that Hulu premiered last year, very quietly, but it's gotten a nice following since, called Holly Hobby. The second season premieres this Friday. We'll have showrunner Sarah Glinsky. And then, from Brightline, an organization that's dealing more and more with the world of interactive television on all sorts of levels, we'll have the chief executive, Jacqueline Corbelli, and the chief strategy officer, Rob Eskman. All Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What are some of the TV shows or TV makers that you're impressed with these days?
Oh, my gosh. Here's the thing. This is like the golden age of television. There is so much good stuff to watch. I'm drawn to a wide variety of things, right? Like, for example, one of the most interesting series I've seen in recent memory was Chernobyl. And we were lucky enough to have Carolyn Strauss, who is the EP on that series, here to talk to our students. Carolyn also was involved with Game of Thrones, which, let's just say, is a highly popular show amongst our student body. I also am looking to people like, you know, I love the show Barry, you know, that Bill Hader is doing, and just so impressed and surprised by the depth and complexity of what he's doing with that show. And my God, he's a good actor. So those are just some of the things that I'm watching that I really like and enjoy and look forward to seeing what more, you know, complications are going to come through with those.
Mm-hmm. Last night, I saw the latest episode of Mr. Robot on USA. I'll tell you, Dean Pegg, I think the world is standing up for me. I think he is one of the most brilliant people to come into television in years. He writes, he directs. And it seems that this year, which is the final season of Mr. Robot, he has pulled out every imaginative stop and then some. He's done an episode a couple weeks back where you had a little sound from the actors at the beginning, a little sound at the end, and nothing from the actors. It was all visual music by Matt Quayle, sound effects, whatever, but no speaking. Then a season before, it was the episode that looked like it was shot on one camera for the entire 60 minutes, which USA ran commercial-free. And in this case, without giving the spoiler away, this episode was done like a five-act play, where it actually had act one, act two, act three bumpers, and it was all done in one, it looked like one room or like a room that was divided into two or three parts. And it was really amazing to see how everybody involved, the actors in that entire episode, Again, another commercial-free presentation by USA, which I give a lot of credit for. Robbie Malek, Gloria Rubin, who was in that episode. The photography by Todd Campbell, which I think is absolutely extraordinary and should get an Emmy nomination this year. Matt Close, et cetera. It just seemed that SMAO just has this way of, let's try things. Let's go for it and really stretch how creative you can make the storytelling.
I think that is part of what is so wonderful about what's going on, which is television is now using a lot of dramatic devices that it's experimenting with from other mediums. And whether it's the play structure, whether it's doing things that are sort of what I really think is that for a while, people may have forgotten that television is a visual medium. And everything that you're talking about is stuff that we used to say, oh, that was the province of film and TV was always dialogue heavy. I couldn't disagree more. And the examples you're pointing out show that. I also think about you reminding me of what the kind of groundbreaking work series like Breaking Bad did. You know, I remember that they used a lot of stuff for me that started to carry over that I had seen more in television, and whether it was things that also boiled from the play the dimension of plays, you know, all the stuff with bottleneck episodes, which you wind up having to be basically locked into one location. The beautiful challenge of writing for that, it's such a pleasure to see that kind of, those kind of devices being used more and more within the medium in the hands of these really gifted writer, producer, creators.
It also seems that with all of these writer creators, and you can mention like so many more, whether it's Ava DuVernay, whether it's Terrell Al McCready with his series on Oprah Free Network, which I really enjoyed, David Makes Man, that there seems to be more of a respect for the audience, as in, don't worry, the audience will get this. I can stretch myself as far as I can make it because I know the audience will get this, as opposed to, somebody's going to come in and say, well, you can't do this, you can't do that, because the audience is not going to take it. You're going to screw the audience
up.
You're going to what you're doing.
I couldn't agree with you more, Simon. Thank you for saying it. It just used to, like, part of why I think, you know, sad to say, but part of why some of the drop-off with conventional, some of the network shows is because I do think they didn't trust a level of sophistication on audiences. And let's face it, audiences are smart. And all these kinds of shows are just showing us over and over again, you don't need to dumb things down. People are incredibly sophisticated viewers. And I think that's what helping explain some of the popularity of the shows that are growing and growing audiences on all these alternative platforms.
You mentioned that your students love the Game of Thrones. Are there any other shows that your students are currently in love with?
Well, they run the gamut, you know, from network to streaming. I mean, Pose is one of the series that's really quite popular. The Watchmen, definitely growing. I know people love Mr. Robot. You know, you aren't the only fan of that show. So those are these are the couple of the ones that come to mind.
Tomorrow night in Los Angeles, Echo, which is the interactive TV project from Walmart, Samsung, MGM, and Venture Capitalist, is going to showcase four new television series where at various points in an episode you choose which way the show is going to go using either your remote control or, because of artificial intelligence now in your television set or your device like an Amazon Fire TV, you control it with your voice. What do you think about interactive TV, the idea of choose your direction of the show or choose your plot line or choose which what character you follow more than others?
Well, I thought it was, you know, a lot of fun when Black Mirror broke that one big episode that I think brought it to a much wider audience. And by the way, that is another very popular show amongst the students I talk to. I think that it can be I think it can be engaging. I think they're still experimenting with how to make it work in a traditional series kind of setting. I mean, I think that it is just second nature for anybody who's involved in gaming, which most of our, you know, new next generation and audiences are. I mean, you know, when you really talk about interactive, you know, that's a, you know, like $18 billion industry. And, you know, you've got, I think, something like 456 million people involved in it worldwide, which is bigger than the population of the U.S. So I think it is smart of companies to start to look at how are they going to incorporate more interactivity into what we tended to have thought of as more traditional programming. But I think, you know, when you're talking about the screen industry, you know, part of the thing with smart TVs is they've become better at being able to accommodate gaming, and that the screens have been improved and enhanced both for traditional television viewing, but also what gamers need.
As a matter of fact, Google Stadia is going to premiere tomorrow on smart TV sets and smart devices, where you use a controller, not a big console like a PlayStation or an Xbox, and your voice or your remote control to maneuver the games. And these are not like cheap games. These are very well thought of games that have a nice degree of intelligence and levels to them. But what do you think about the idea of controlling the TV set with your voice, with artificial intelligence that is there and is probably going to get better and better in terms of language?
Well, I have to tell you, I tried it with my new one, and it was funky. It didn't work great, you know, and this could be operator error, but it also, even Siri seems to have a hard time understanding me sometimes, so it might be something about my accent that throws artificial intelligence. But I actually do think the more, and this is where the industry is going, is the more you merge multiple devices into one, the better it's going to be. But I just think we ain't there yet. But I will tell you honestly, another hesitation I have about doing that stuff, I'm a little uncomfortable about who's hearing what I have to say and how information is being gleaned from those devices. And I still have privacy concerns, so I know it's a double-edged sword, all this stuff about technology, and I think we've gotten used to just giving up our privacy in a lot of areas for ease, and, you know, I'm as guilty of it as anyone. But I do find myself questioning it a little bit more. So I still have some hesitation about diving in full bore with it.
Yeah. Dean Peggy, final question. We have like another minute or so left, and it's this. With everything the TV sets can or will do in this decade ahead, whether you go to order products and services, Facebook's Portal TV, which will allow you to chat with others, and maybe do other things like augmented reality or virtual reality on the set, what do you think this coming decade is going to bring? And are you and your fellow teachers starting to tell your students about, like, what can they expect in this decade ahead of television?
Absolutely. And I mean, certainly thinking about interactive, immersive, and gaming is a huge part of what we're talking about. I mean, we're in partnership with the College of Science and Engineering to help deepen our offerings in that area. I mean, as I said, one of the things that's ahead for our students that is different for this generation is film and traditional television, network television, used to seem like those were the only avenues. There are so many more opportunities, and I see our graduates moving into them with great speed. I mean, we have a lot of people who are working in the gaming industry, in special effects, in doing things like moving into the writer's room of these streaming entities at a much faster pace than what would have happened just a decade ago. I mean, I've got graduates who are less than 2 years out who are, you know, staff writers on the new series that's going on over at Hulu Plus. I'm sorry, Disney Plus. So I want them to be prepared to be able to follow where their interest lies and where opportunity exists. And that's going to cut across streaming, and that's going to go into interactive. It's going to go into branded content. It's going into documentary, and it's going into streaming. So these are our curriculum must and does stay current with all those opportunities. So I'm always looking forward while honoring all the great things we've learned from the past.
I wish we could continue the conversation, but unfortunately the clock has caught up to us, so we got to leave it here. But if you want more information about what Peggy is doing and her fellow teachers at the Loyola Marymount School of Film and Television, is where you go online, www.lmu.edu. That's www.lmu.edu. I think you'll find it very, very worthwhile to learn what they are up to. Dean Peggy Reitke, thank you so much for being with us. It's been a fantastic half hour with you. Let's do this again soon. And all the very best to you and your students and teachers.
Thank you so much, Simon, and my best to all your listeners.
You got it. Take care, and have a very happy holiday season. A great start to the new year.
You too, Simon.
Dean Peggy Reitke joining us live from the campus of Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles, California. And that will do it for this edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Thanks to both of our guests for joining us this hour. Coming up on our next episode, our special edition on Wednesday, we will have the showrunner of the Hulu series Holly Hobby, starting season 2 this Friday, showrunner Sarah Glinsky. And from Brightline, the Chief Executive Officer Jacqueline Corbelli and Chief Strategist Rob Axman, Interactive TV, and where we're taking it with us. That's our main topic with them. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check out our podcasts. They're available 24/7 at not only at Blog Talk Radio, but at iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker Podcast app, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And as of Friday, some of our podcasts also at Media Village, which I write Tomorrow Be Televised columns for, www.mediavillage.com. Remember, with iHeartRadio, go to the homepage, iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you're in. If you'd like to check us out and communicate with us, we'd like to hear from you. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBTU. However you communicate, I do respond, and quickly, within 24 hours. Why? Because what you say matters now and always. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants. Now it's those of Blog Talk Radio and Speaker and iHeart Radio. Our production associate, BTR, is Candace Williams. Andy Pillow is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of the Enterprise are Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow we televise is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transform the way you hear the world. If you're looking for a great holiday gift, go to www.audibletrial.com/televise. For Tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great 48 hours ahead. We are back on Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Wherever you're up to now and then, please make it safe and make it great.